In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Pentecost Sunday, those in the church who follow the historic liturgical calendar take the day to commemorate the work of the Holy Spirit. You hear how God first confused the languages of the earth at the Tower of Babel because of man's sin. Then, at the first Pentecost, you learn that the Holy Spirit gave power to Peter and the 11 to proclaim the mighty works of God in languages they didn't previously know, to Jews from every nation under heaven. Everyone that day heard God's word in their own language. Message received. The Holy Spirit has overcome the confusion of Babel. It's clear that the Holy Spirit is a key player in the work of God's salvation of man. So, today I lay before you a very important question. Where does the Holy Spirit testify? And to what does he confirm? Will you find the Holy Spirit in the forest, at the golf course, on the lake? Will you find him in music, passionate speeches, or beautiful works of art? Will you find him in your heart? Maybe you've even convinced yourself that you've heard his voice, that the Spirit spoke to you in a whisper, an intuition, or a feeling. Maybe you think that he's come and gifted you with a special direct pipeline to God that no one else has. Repent. The Holy Spirit does not come in those ways or in those places. He does not come by your own reason or strength. You cannot conjure him up with music, drama, or charisma. He does not come in a whisper known only to you. He comes in the Word, and that Word is open to all. That Word is the Word begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. That Word is the Word who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. That Word was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. That Word will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, and his kingdom has no end. That Word is, of course, Jesus. Jesus is the Word that comes from the Father. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit he sends never speaks on his own authority. Quite literally, the Holy Spirit is no author. He is a divine dictation secretary. He speaks only what he hears from the Father. And what he hears is the Word. What he speaks is Jesus. What he hears is Jesus. The sole mission of the Holy Spirit is to speak the Word that comes from the Father. His job is to glorify the Son by taking from what is his and declaring it to you. He testifies about Jesus. Where will you find the Holy Spirit? You will find him where you find Jesus. You can't find Jesus, you can find Jesus in the Word of the Apostles. You first approach the writings of the New Testament the way you would any other historical document. They are the memoirs of the Apostles, recollections about Jesus written by those who ate with him, who heard him teach, who watched him die, and who were visited by him after his resurrection. They are very human documents. On the surface, there is nothing miraculous about them. But the same could be said about the Lord. He is a very human Lord, a man just like you, but he is also divine. And so his story and his teaching are also divine. This is the place he has promised to be found. The account of Jesus as it stands, recorded by those who were with him during his earthly ministry, is the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. The teaching of Jesus as you find it in the writings of the New Testament is the place where you find the Holy Spirit at work, along with all of the Holy Scriptures. That is what Jesus himself promised his disciples in the gospel. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are bound, and he gave his Spirit to the apostles so that they would be bound to him. The Spirit's job was to ensure that the apostles wrote, that what they wrote would be nothing other than what they had seen and heard in the presence of Jesus. And this is what they saw and heard. The Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word that was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world by giving his flesh over into death. He glorified his Father by sacrificing his life for the forgiveness of our sins, and the Father raised him up on the third day. The message of the apostles is that God makes himself known to you in the sending of his Son to die on your behalf. Everything who God was, is, and always shall be can be seen by looking at the crucifixion of Jesus. The Holy Scriptures are the only true witness to this. If you're looking for the Holy Spirit, look to the Word recorded by the apostles. Look to Christ crucified. If somebody claims to have the Holy Spirit, to hear his voice, look to the Word recorded by the apostles. Look to Christ crucified and test that Spirit. If that Spirit comes from God, then he won't disagree with the Word that comes from the Father. He won't disagree with Jesus. He won't disagree with the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Holy Scriptures tell us that you can find Jesus in holy baptism. But there are any number of sects that deny the efficacy of baptism. Some say that it is a mere symbol. Others turn it into a work that you do to demonstrate your obedience to God. Others say that it's virtually unnecessary. Test the spirits. What do the Scriptures say? What does the Holy Spirit speak? In the last chapter of Matthew, Jesus tells his apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In the last chapter of Mark, Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." St. Paul writes in his letter to Titus that Jesus saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And again, in his letter to the Romans, he writes, "We were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And St. Peter writes, "Baptism now saves you." Any single one of these passages would be enough to make the case, but I have just listed five. And there are more besides that say that baptism is the application of the gospel to your life. It is the place where Jesus is to be found. It is the washing of the Holy Spirit. It is the act of God that saves you. Now, I want you to think about how many sects deny all of that. And I want you to think about this question: what spirit are they listening to? Consider also that the Holy Scriptures tell you that you can find Jesus in holy absolution. But there are any number of sects that deny the efficacy of absolution. Some say they don't need to hear a word of forgiveness from another man. They can hear enough of that from the Bible. Others say that it is actually a perversion of the gospel to go to confession and hear the word of absolution. And sadly, there are far too many so-called Lutherans who dismiss absolution out of hand because to their way of thinking, it's just simply too Roman Catholic. Test the spirits. What do the scriptures say? In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." In the 18th chapter, Jesus gives this charge also to the church: "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And in the 20th chapter of John, Jesus again gives this charge to his apostles: "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Any single one of these passages would be enough to make the case, but I have just listed three, and there are more besides that say that holy absolution is the application of the gospel to your life. It is the place where Jesus is to be found. It is the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I want you to think about how many sects deny that. And I want you to think about this question: what spirit are they listening to? Finally, consider that the Holy Scriptures tell us that you find Jesus in Holy Communion. That there are any number of sects that deny the efficacy of communion. Some say that it's merely a symbolic meal. Others turn it into a sacrificial work that you do to earn favor with God. Others say that it's virtually unnecessary. And sadly, there are far too many so-called Lutherans who don't see the great blessings to be had in the sacrament of the altar. Test the spirits. What do the scriptures say? The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" In the 6th chapter of John, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood abides in me, and I in him. Any single one of these passages would be enough to make the case, but I have just listed five, and there are more besides that say that the sacrament of the altar is the application of the gospel to your life. It is the place where Jesus is to be found. It is the place where he grants you the forgiveness of your sins in the eating of bread that is his body and the drinking of wine that is his blood. Now I want you to think about how many sects deny that. And I want you to think about this question. What spirit are they listening to? Jesus once told Nicodemus, "The spirit blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Not so with you. Thanks to the Holy Scriptures, you know where the Spirit comes from and where he goes. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. And together with them, he is worshiped and glorified. He testifies about Jesus. He teaches you in the apostolic scriptures. He seals you to God in holy baptism. He lightens your load in holy absolution, and he gives you the gift of forgiveness and the body and blood of Jesus himself in holy communion. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that the Holy Spirit is here at God's divine service to you each and every week through his word and his sacraments. But don't take my word for it. Test the spirits. What do the scriptures say? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.